Welcome to the deep dive. We've sifted through, well, a whole stack of information, recent reports, news, expert takes, and we're here to pull out the key insights for you, nice and efficiently.
Yeah, think of it as getting you up to speed without you having to read everything yourself.
Exactly. And today, we're focusing on the cybersecurity world. Specifically, we're looking at the April 2025 NZ Incident Response Bulletin.
Right, that's from Incident Response Solutions. It's designed to give executives, you know, the lowdown on forensics and cybersecurity stuff. We've also got other relevant news mixed in.
We do. So the mission for us today, pretty straightforward. Get a clear handle on the main cybersecurity challenges popping up right now and what the smart recommendations are for dealing with them.
It's all about trying to stay ahead of the curve, really.
Okay, so let's start with New Zealand. The bulletin brought up something interesting right away. This sort of complacency issue.
Yeah, the gap between perception and reality. There was that Datacom survey.
Right. 71% of business leaders felt their teams were ready for cyber threats.
But only 51% of the actual employees agreed with that.
That's quite a difference, isn't it?
It really is. And Colin Penman from Datacom, he pointed out that this overconfidence, it's a major vulnerability.
Especially now with AI powering more sophisticated attacks.
Exactly. It just hammers home the need for, you know, proper governance and actual resilience strategies, not just wishful thinking.
Makes sense. If you think you're safe, maybe you stop checking the locks, so to speak. Speaking of consequences, the cost of cybercrime in New Zealand.
Wow.
It's gone through the roof.
Yeah, the CertNZ data for March 2025,
yeah.
It showed a 91% increase in financial impact over the last year.
91%.
Reaching $39 million in direct losses alone. That's significant.
And it's not just numbers getting bigger, right? The attacks themselves are changing.
Well, yes, we're seeing more phishing, online scams, business email compromise, usual suspects, but perhaps more targeted, more effective.
And hitting smaller businesses, too.
Definitely. Small and medium-sized businesses are increasingly in the crosshairs, and they often, you know, don't have the same level of defense as the big players.
So they're more vulnerable.
Right. And CertNZ specifically warned about criminals getting smarter, using social engineering, using AI. It makes the scams harder to spot.
So the basic advice is still key.
Absolutely. Multi-factor authentication, you know, that extra code from your phone. Staff training. Having a solid incident response plan, it's foundational, but clearly needs more uptake.
Okay, staying within NZ, but shifting focus slightly. There is that whole thing with Minister Judith Collins and the classified Pacific cyber documents.
Ah, yes, the decision not to release them.
Sparked a bit of debate about transparency versus security, didn't it?
It did. The official line was national security, protecting sources and methods. Understandable, I suppose.
But the counter argument is, with regional threats growing, maybe more openness helps everyone prepare.
That's the tension. Collins backed strengthening cyber resilience in the Pacific, but, you know, keeping the sensitive details under wraps. It's a balancing act.
Then there was a launch of that new database, the one for blocking terrorist and extremist content online.
Right, a joint effort, NZ working with international partners.
The goal being faster detection and removal.
Exactly. It's about consolidating info on known harmful stuff to get it offline quicker. It ties into the Christchurch call commitments.
And they mentioned privacy safeguards were built in.
They did. Real-time monitoring, but with apparently attention paid to privacy and human rights. That's always a tricky line to walk with, this kind of thing.
Okay, let's look across the Tasman. That ASIC lawsuit against FIIG Securities in Australia, that feels like a big deal.
It really does. ASIC, the regulator there, going after them for alleged cybersecurity failures, stretching back years, actually.
What were the allegations?
Things like not having strong enough security controls, basically putting client data at risk, poor risk management, not spotting breaches properly.
So regulators getting tougher.
Seems like it. And the message for NZ firms operating in Australia is pretty clear, isn't it?
Yeah. Cybersecurity is a board-level issue now, not just for the IT department.
Precisely. It's governance.
And sticking with that region, the healthcare sector seems particularly vulnerable lately. That Australian IVF clinic ransomware attack? Worrying.
Very. Experts are flagging this trend. Private healthcare providers, maybe with less funding for robust IT than big public hospitals.
They become easier targets.
Potentially, yes. And healthcare data is so sensitive, plus the pressure to keep services running. It makes them attractive to ransomware gangs.
So the advice is stronger controls.
Yeah, things like better encryption, network segmentation, kind of walling off different parts of the network, And again, having that incident response plan ready to go.
And it brought up mandatory breach disclosure laws again, didn't it?
It did. Renewed calls for that in both countries. Still a point of discussion.
Then there was the Oracle situation. A hacker group claiming a breach. That must have caused some serious concern.
Oh, definitely. Even if Oracle initially said disruption was limited, the potential for access to sensitive data, that's huge.
Especially for sectors like finance, healthcare, government. They rely heavily on Oracle.
Absolutely. The advice for companies was, you know, check your logs, harden your credentials, patch systems, the standard drill.
But it really highlights that supply chain risk, doesn't it? You can secure your own systems, but what about your critical providers?
Exactly. It's a massive vulnerability. You need defenses in layers, assuming one layer might fail.
Right. Okay, let's zoom out to some global events. Elon Musk claimed X faced a massive cyber attack.
Yeah, that made waves. He described it as highly coordinated, possibly state-sponsored.
But no major data breach was reported in the end.
Correct. It seemed the goal was more about disruption, destabilizing the service, rather than stealing user data.
Still worrying, though, for such a major platform, especially as they move into finance and news.
Definitely. Big platforms like that, with tons of user data and potential financial info, they're prime targets for sophisticated attacks.
And speaking of big tech moves, Google buying Mandiant, that wasn't cheap.
No, US $18 billion. Their biggest acquisition ever, I think.
Clearly a huge strategic push into cybersecurity.
Absolutely. Bolstering their cloud security offerings is the main driver. Mandiant brings serious expertise in threat intelligence, incident response.
So Google Cloud gets stronger defenses.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
Faster threat detection, better response capabilities. It's also about competing with Microsoft and Amazon in that cloud security space.
Makes sense. It's a broader trend, isn't it? Tech giants beefing up their security portfolios.
It is. Security is just becoming table stakes for cloud providers now.
Then there were those warnings about Medusa ransomware making a comeback.
Uh-huh. Urgent alerts from U.S. officials about a surge in attacks.
And Medusa is known for being particularly nasty.
Yeah, their tactic is encrypting systems, stealing data, and then threatening to leak it unless they get a big ransom.
And hitting vulnerable targets.
Increasingly, yes. Schools, hospitals, local governments, causing real disruption to essential services. They're also getting sneakier, apparently, better at hiding.
So the advice there is?
The fundamentals again. Patch systems quickly, use strong access controls, and critically, have good, up-to-date offline backups. Ransomware defense 101, but vital.
It really highlights the pressure on the public sector.
It does. They need comprehensive strategies, urgently.
And finally, on the global front, the U.S. charging those Chinese nationals over alleged cyber attacks.
Right. 7 individuals linked, allegedly, to state-sponsored attacks.
Targeting U.S. government agencies.
Yes, including the Treasury Department. The allegations involved espionage using things like spear phishing and malware to steal sensitive economic, defense, diplomatic info.
Getting them into a U.S. court might be unlikely, but it sends a message.
Exactly. It's partly symbolic, but it's meant as a deterrent, a signal of condemnation. It just underscores the ongoing threat from these advanced persistent threat groups, or APTs.
Okay, so let's circle back to the NZ incident response. Billiton's own analysis. They really focused on cyber simulations this time.
They did. And their key takeaway, based on responding to loads of incidents in NZID, was fascinating.
Which was?
That the organizations that cope best aren't always the ones with the fanciest software.
Ah.
But the ones whose leaders have actually practiced responding to an incident.
So it's about muscle memory, not just having a plan on paper.
Precisely. They argue resilience needs to be ingrained, practiced, not just documented in a policy somewhere.
That makes a lot of sense. You don't know how you'll react under pressure until you've actually been under pressure, even simulated pressure.
Exactly. And, you know, business continuity plans, BCPs, they've evolved. They now have to cover digital threats like ransomware, business email compromise, third-party outages, data leaks.
Right, not just fires or floods anymore.
But the real test of that BCP is how it holds up when things go sideways. Which is why testing is crucial.
And that's where cyber simulations come in.
Yes. They see simulations as central to modern business continuity. These aren't just IT drills. They're full-scale exercises.
Involving everyone. Execs, legal, comms.
The whole team. Executives, legal, communications, finance, IT, security. Because a major cyber event hits the whole business.
And they specifically called out the risk with third-party tech providers. That seemed important.
Hugely important. It's often a blind spot. Think about cloud platforms, payroll systems, even legal tech.
Uh-huh.
We rely on them so much.
But do we test their readiness?
Often not enough. Incident Response Solutions said some of their toughest incidents involve vendors who couldn't communicate well or just didn't have solid recovery plans themselves.
So their crisis becomes your crisis.
Instantly. They really stress the need to either include key vendors in your simulations or, at the very least, ask them some very pointed questions about their own testing and preparedness.
So running these simulations, what are the main benefits? What do they actually reveal?
Well, they expose the gaps. They show where your assumptions might be wrong, where delays creep in, who actually owns which decision in the heat of the moment.
Ah, clarifies responsibilities.
Yes. And crucially, it gives the executive team a realistic feel for just how fast and chaotic a real cyber crisis can be. It's not theoretical anymore.
And they've seen this make a difference in real incidents.
Directly. They mentioned that boards and leadership teams who've done regular simulations, they're noticeably calmer, more focused, more effective when a real attack happens.
It builds confidence then, turns the plan into a practiced capability.
That's exactly it. It massively increases the chances of a smoother recovery. Regular realistic testing isn't just a nice to have, it's a critical investment in resilience.
Because digital disruption isn't really an if anymore, it's a when.
Pretty much. And practice makes, well, not perfect, but certainly better prepared. Their advice is clear. If your exec team hasn't practiced responding to a cyber incident, start now. Even a simple tabletop exercise is a good first step.
And they mentioned an updated tool.
Yeah, a feedback reporting tool that helps map any gaps you find against the NZ National Cybersecurity Center guidelines and the CIMS framework. So it gives you structured feedback.
Okay, so wrapping up this deep dive, the big picture seems pretty clear. Threats are getting worse, more complex, more expensive.
Definitely. The bulletin and all the global news really drive that home. The stakes, financially and reputationally, are just constantly rising.
Which means being proactive is absolutely essential. You can't afford to be caught flat-footed.
Nope. Understanding these trends is step one to avoiding nasty surprises.
And it comes back to that point about practice, doesn't it? It's not just about tech. It's about people, process, and coordination, making sure everyone knows their role when the pressure is on.
Which leads us perfectly to that final thought for you, our listener.
Right. Consider this. What single immediate step could your organization take, starting today, to get a better, more practical understanding of its cyber resilience? Not just what's written down, but how it would actually perform in reality.